Okay, so we were up to animal food that that have kedusha shviyah and are subject to beer, like thorns and thistles. So Tzipori Shaul and Rabbi Yimi, the people in Tzipori asked Rabbi, Ma'u lahatein behen chitin? What is the halacha by moistening wheat with thorns and thistles of Shemitah? Right, they would just take like wet things with dew and put them on wheat to soften it. Are you allowed to do it, or alternatively, can you moisten one's hands with it? Now, when you do this, so they are edible for animals, and the question is this considered a destruction? Because again, you're using something for animal food, which we've already established you can use for like lower level human needs, but this is like preparation of human food, but it's going to get destroyed in the process. So Amarlon, Atunam Rav Shem Rav Chanina, the students came afilu alei kursei shari. Even these kursaya leaves are mutter, and those are more edible than thorns. Right, so you might have thought that they have a higher level kedusha and therefore higher demands, but even that you're allowed to use to, right, that's considered a legitimate use of them, a human need. So therefore, for sure, by thorns and thistles. Amar Rabbi Yoshia, la'avoda v'samoch aloi. Rechanina stated halacha, you followed in practice, meaning this isn't just theoretical, right? Sometimes you say something and you're like, okay, but maybe I'm not sure, right? Maybe in theory, but you know, people disagree. He's like, no. He thought that was the halacha, and he told you can paskin like it. In Amar Rabbi Yoshia, ein lecham yuchad l'beimai l'chatzir bilvad. There's no plant that is designated exclusively for animals other than grass. Everything else has other things, right? So wet grass of Shemitah, you might think, is not allowed to be used for it because right, that which is meant to be used as fodder, vishalakhu latainbo, mutar latainbo. And even grass, which is like the most classic animal fodder, if you take it with the intent to using it to moisten other things, so then it's mutter. So maybe by the thorns and thistles, right? You don't, by grass, which is default animal fodder, you need to pick it with this purpose for it to be mutter. But other things, which are, you know, lower level, you can just always use it for this purpose. The Tani Chain and the Brayta says, chatzar v'chol sheir yirkot, grass and all other greens. Shalachan latein behen, that you took with intent to moisten them. Chishav alein lechol behema. Mutter latein alein, you can use them to moisten with them. Chishav alein lechol behema, but if you intend them, you actively intend them to be used for fodder, so then asur latein behen. So then you aren't allowed to. Because then you are changing their purpose by using it to soften the other food. And right, so when before you've actually decided that, then it's fine. But when you've actually decided that, that's when it comes problematic. Now the Gra has a different thing. He says that kursaya is a type of chatzir, a type of grass. And what the students were asking originally, they asked, is it mutter to moisten wheat with shemitah with shviat fodder? So they said, well, Rav Chanina said you can do it with kursaya, and kursaya, which is animal food, right? Grass is animal food, and if you can use that, then even things that are designated specifically for animal use for being used for this process. So then, how does it go? So what he says is, after his statement of ein lecham yuchal v'ein lechatzir bilvad, so Amar Rav Yimi lo bida, there is no proof that kursaya can be used for moistening, right? So it takes it totally different. He was saying, prove from this that you can use this grass for moistening. He says, no, tifter shlach olatim ben. Maybe that's where you planted it to do this. Mutter latein behen. Tani chein, chazer chol shar yirakot. Right? Meaning the students wanted to prove that it's always mutter to do this, and Reimi says, no, it's usher unless you print it, you pick it for that purpose. Right? And therefore, according to this, there's no difference between different types of animal food. It's a difference simply of whether you picked it for that purpose or not. And Tani bar kapara, mutter lahatein behen. Right? It's mutter to, right? He says, no, it is mutter to moisten the wheat with grass, even if they were picked specifically for animal fodder. Va'asr l'schot behen. But you can't juice them. Right? Because, right, again, as we've talked about, you can only use things in the normal way. So things that aren't normally used for juice, you can't use for juice. There's a big machloket in the postgame. So what are you allowed to make into juice? Is it only the things that in the time of Chazal were used as liquids, wine and oil? What about things that nowadays are normal? Right. So some postgame say it's only wine and olives. Right. Well, you know, olives and grapes. Meaning, you know what I'm getting at?
Yeah.
Some say it's anything that is normal. Some say it depends. Maybe citrus is unique. Because it's so overwhelmingly used that way. But these like grass, you can't make a grass smoothie because at that point, you know, yeah, like kale, you know. Lama she'yesh alein kedusha shviit, because they have kedusha shviit, and grass juice is apparently, you know, not normal and therefore considered destructive. But do animal foods not have kedusha shviyet? And yet they do have kedusha, and yet you're allowed to use them for medicine. Isn't that problematic? So as we saw before, right, you can basically mix and match. Let's say that a lower level human need with a higher level animal food is legitimate. Right, animal food can be made into medicine, plasters for human, because the fact is going for a human raises it up a level. The fact that it's for an animal lowers it. Right, so for animal, it's for food. So animal food is higher because it's food, lower because it's animal. Human medicine is higher because it's human, lower because it's medicine.
But we established that something that's only used for a small segment of the population isn't considered a need at all, no?
Well, no, that it's less of a need and therefore it goes down. Well, so this is something that's animal food.
Yeah.
Right, so animal food, meaning animal food is already at a lower level. You're not eating it anyways, right? The animals are, but animal food is basically it's a lateral change to human medicine.
Fine.
Right, the shamina and shemutu lisochtan lasan men samanim ladam, right? And we've learned that it's permitted to squeeze them and make them into medicines for humans. Right, so therefore, what you see is that it is mutter to use it, and it retains kedushat shviit. But when you squeeze animal juice into food into a juice, the problem is that you're destroying it. Right, and this comes back to I think you were there when we had this conversation a few weeks ago about juices. Right, that in general, in the time of Chazal, juice was very rare. Right, people didn't use most juices, and therefore turning something to juice made it basically insignificant, which is why you would make a shahakal, right, on the bracha, because that wasn't normal, right? It becomes zeab alma, right? You treat, right? I mean, the Gemara says that if you make juice out of most fruit on Shabbos, it's not aser, because shechita requires you to make significant juice, right? And in the time of the Gemara says d'oraita was olives and grapes. Derabanan were tutim verimonim, because people made pomegranate juice, some people, and other fruit. It was so abnormal that even when you made it into juice, it just wasn't schita. It was just weird. It was nothing. It was garbage. No one would drink that stuff. It wasn't considered juice. So here, by turning it into...
That it's mutter. Not that it's putter, that it's mutter.
Correct.
No one holds that low halacha, though.
Yeah? Because now juice is... It's much more normal to make fruits and juices.
What about a juice that no one... Like, no one's drinking straight lemon juice.
But no, people use lemon juice.
No,
come on.
Nowadays,
I can't think of anything that people don't make juices as, because you go to these juice bars and everything that, you know, you could think of, there's juice.
Etrog juice.
What?
Etrog juice.
Yep. If you go to the back of the inside part of the shuk, there is a smoothie thing there that says that we make smoothies al pi shita Rambam, and etrog juice is healthy, and they will make you etrog smoothies. Nope, you'd be surprised. Yeah. Okay. It is worth noting that there was a different gerson. Yeah, it's very weird. It's very powerful, and etrog liqueur is actually quite common. Not good, but common. And if it is good, it's because it has so much sugar to offset the bitter, the sourness of the citron. Okay, but also the other gersa is also lilvot mehen. That's the actual gersa in the Gemara, not in the changed gersa, which is weird. Like, why would you not be allowed to borrow Shemitah produce, but it must be that there must there, maybe you would say there's some Shita that think borrowing would be a type of business, but that seems very odd because the Gemara, I mean, the Gemara, at least in Bavli, seems to say that obviously you can borrow Shemitah produce. Like, why shouldn't you? But okay.
Wait, so one's clearly allowed to just give Shemitah produce as a gift, right? Oh, is that a question?
Yeah, let's bracket gifts.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. Taman Tanina. Because it's a fun sugya, but, right? It's a fun sugya, and... Later. Yeah, the main time that it comes up is by like yes gives, but there are limitations on that, and it's a very fascinating sugya in the context of Mishloach Manot on Purim because it's a gift, but it's a chiyuv. Oh, okay. Anyways, but yeah, Bigadol, yes, you can give a gift. Correct, you can give a gift.
Bigadol,
we'll see. I mean, I can send you the makor from when we did it,
but is it?
Like, that is a that particular manifestation. No, in general, can you give a gift? Probably, under all circumstances, no. Taman taninan. So we learn in the Mishnah later on. Now we're going back to the wild loaf, right? So anything. So taman taninan lulav ezradin, the shoots of a service tree shall adal or of adal, which is some sort of radish type of thing. Vaale loaf shote and wild loaf emetametuman ochlen achiyim tiku. So as we talked about, right, there are certain things that. Are not edible, but you can make them edible. But until they're edible, right, if the default is not food, then they aren't subject to tumat ochlen, because they're not food. So these wild loaf were not usually used, so they're not subject to tumat, until you marinate them and sweeten them. Mmm. Lama shein marin, because they are bitter. Viturmis and lavin and marin, well, aren't lupines bitter? So shonai turmis and shikaran ochel adam. He said, yes, but lupines are human food. So yes, they can't be eaten until they're cooked, but they are normally cooked. Whereas adal is very rarely food, right? It's not just that it's bitter. It's two things. It's bitter, and people don't normally eat it. So until you actually process it as human food, it is not food. So now the Gemara says, lo tzorch lo shamin shingdu shvil chal olein achim tegu. It was necessary to teach this Mishnah, tells that the Shemitah produce doesn't even take effect on them until they're sweetened, because they were not anything. Because lo chain, just like we saw by endives. Remember endives, right? Which Israel, Isaac was like, endives? Who eats endives? Common. That's pretty common. I don't know.
Lo chain.
Talk about a lettuce-y thing. Lo chain amar Rabbi Yosef Chanina, that ulshin chashuvot hein litamei tomat ochlen bishvi'id, that endives, wild endives, are chashuv enough that they are considered... they can become tame during the Shemitah year, right? Now, normally they can't. Remember we saw this, right? We were like, normally they're not, because no one would eat them. But during Shemitah, people are systematically desperate. And therefore, it is already food. So if you remember, the Gemara had said that this was only before we lifted the prohibition of import. Because then people were hard-pressed to find food. But as soon as imports were allowed, people said, I am out of it. No, we're not eating endives. Ew, endives. No one ever eats wild endives. I'd rather pay a lot of money for imported produce than eat endives. Ew, ew, ew. But here, after Rebbe's heter took effect, so then you need specific intent in order to eat them, in order for them to become, right, subject to tuma. And therefore it should be that wild loaf as well, it doesn't mean that they have shviat when they're being picked, but that they can attain it, right, when you process them, right, just by the loaf, like the loaf where there is this, right, there is this default that they're not food. Now, the Rosh Yulia and the Mara Fulda say that this is a statement, right? This is, as we've seen, one of the big problems in Yerushalmi, that half the times you know what the Gemara is saying, but you don't know whether it's saying it as a statement or a question. So here, the Mara Fulda and the Rosh Yulia are like, yes, you see that these aren't Kadosh or subject to an Oakland until you process them. And the Pnei Moshe say, it's a question. Right, meaning, do they become Kadosh earlier because of the potential that they will be food later, right? And the Gemara tries to prove it by loof. And the Gemara says, aha, you see that they're only eaten as a last resort, and yet they're considered to have Shemitah produce from the beginning. And then the Gemara deflects it by going through the import question. right? And saying that now that Rebbe permitted it, they're not considered food, and indeed they wouldn't be Kadosh Kedusha Shviyat. And when you see indications that they are Kadosh Kedusha Shviyat, that was a holdover from the time before they were, there was import. The Rosh has a different Girsa here, and the Gemara does not say when it becomes, but whether it ever does. Right, meaning the Rosh's question is: look, if something is only going to become edible later, can it possibly ever have? Right, can it ever become kadosh? Because when you picked it, right, it wasn't kadosh. And the Gemara. All right, and then the Gemara says, well, yeah, you have these things that can become subject to Kedusha. So now the Gemara says, sinu davar v'tchilen Kedusha Shviyat Chalav v'sof Kedusha Shviyat Chalav. The Gemara says, well, what is that? Right? Meaning, doesn't... So this is one of these interesting things. Is there's a lot of evidence throughout Masechet Shviyat that the Kedusha and the produce is an expression of the produce representing the land. Right? So in light of that lamdus, this would make a lot of sense, which is, I don't understand. How could something become kadosh later? When it was picked from the ground, it isn't kadosh. I don't care if it becomes food later, but right, either it's kadosh as it comes out of the ground. We saw this already in the fourth parak, right? That some of the psukim focused on the land. Right? The produce is kadosh because the land is kadosh. So certain types of things that comes out of the land are kadosh. But if they're not kadosh when they're detached from the land, they can become kadosh later. How could that be? So Hatevon, Zigmar said, why not? Hare Sia Ezov a Kornet Lekon Leitzim, but Sia Ezov and Kornet they that are picked for firewood, ain't Kedusha Shviyat Chalav. They don't become kadosh at the beginning. Chishav Alan La Ochlin Kedusha Shviyat Chalav, but once they treat them as food, they become kadosh later. That shows that you can. So Amar Al Chananya Shekanim Likton Mitchila Ochlin Kedusha Shviyat Chalav Miyad. He said, no, maybe what it's saying is if you pick them with the intent to make them food, then they become kadosh. Meaning not that something can be not kadosh and then become kadosh, but that something has two potentials, and depending on the way you think about it when you pick it, that's what's going to make it kadosh, or not. Again, as we've seen, right? Is this a question? Is it an answer? So the Gra had said the original question was whether the wild loof have Kedusha Shviyat when they're picked or only when they're food. And then according to this, the Gemara is answering, it's meant to, right, what it's saying here is that Shviyat takes place at the outset because it's illogical for it to take effect later. And then it says, no, that's not true. It is possible for something to have Kedusha later. Now, what are these things? Sia is of cornet. So Sia is citra, Sia is pennyroyal, Ezov is hyssop, and cornet cornita is savory. That didn't help me at all. Chalbatzin, and what are chalbatzin that we said are have kedusha but are not subject to biur? Ma'al chalbatzin, beitzei nitz chalav. They're the eggs of the milky blossom. Sure. Remeir omer b'dmein midbarin. So if you remember, Remeir said that the money is you do biur at Rosh Hashanah, and the Chum said it can't be, right? Because if the thing itself is not subject to biur, then the money can't, even at a derabanan level. So omer len Rabbi Meir. Remeir says, I am comfortable saying that we're more stringent with the money than the thing itself. Why? Because listen, I'll give you an example. Oil of Shemitah, you can burn, as we saw. But macharo, but if you sold oil of Alachabo Shemen, and then you bought other oil, ain't Madlikinbo. Because that's considered Kedusha Damim, and we don't allow you to do it. Right, basically, we don't want you to treat it like regular oil, so we ban even using it as kindling when you bought it with the money. So you see that sometimes we are more machmir on that which was bought with Shemitah money than the thing itself. So Rabbi b'shem Yochanan hechlif shemen b'shemen, and why is that? Because if you trade oil for oil, you barter shnana, and they both become aser. So ketzer oseh. What you do is you exchange both of them out for chulin, meaning for non shviyat produce. Because the halacha is that when shviyat produce is bartered, the first produce retains sanctity and the last one maintains its sanctity. So here, where shmita oil was exchanged for other shmita oil, so it has each has dual shmita kedusha, meaning one of money and one of money and one of oil. So then, in order to allow you to burn it to get rid of the Kedusha Damim, you do another trade. Right? And then you're left with it just being Shemitah oil, and then it's fine. you can, and then you can use it for, right. Now, so this follows the notion that we're dealing with here is selling Shemitah oil and buying non-Shemitah oil. That's the gears of the Tosefta, which is Machar V'Lachav Bo Shemen Acher. I mean, you buy other oil, Ein Madlikin Bo. The Gra says that no, if one sells Shemitah oil and buys other oil, he is allowed to use that oil for kindling, just like the original one. The Gra is talking about one sold another type of produce, right? Not oil. That's the problem. It's basically they sold grapes for oil, so then it would be Aser. Why? Because the Kedusha that's transferred is the Kedusha not just of Shviat, and this is Chiddush, but the Kedusha of Shviat grapes, right? And therefore, it's as if the oil that you have is now Kadosh, not as Shvita produce, but as Shemitah grape produce. And Shemitah and grapes you are not allowed to burn. And that's why, right, so the Isser of kindling oil is because the money value, right, and this is his Kiddush. Again, it transfers not just that it's Shemitah, but it's like the Shemitah of grapes. And that's a concern to Rabbanan. And again, he says, you see that sometimes we are more machmir on that which is exchanged than the original. And then to finish it off, he changed the gears again. Hechlo shemen b'yayin v'yayin b'shemen shnamasur. When you trade oil for wine and wine for oil, neither of them can be burnt. So that is how he finished this off. Okay, fine. Shkoyach.